Hello, I'm Jeremy O'Shea, and I'm a shop teacher in Sooke, BC. I am currently taking my master's in educational technology and currently taking a course called EDCI 572 with Dr. Verena Roberts. It is development and implementation of the curriculum in digital learning context. This week's theme is communication and collaboration. I'll be talking about what are some examples of digital tools that support communication and collaboration? How can digital tools expand learning beyond classroom walls? How does your project promote communication and collaboration between students in your class and with others outside your learning context? And last, I'll follow up with the tech of the week. So to start, what are some examples of digital tools that support communication and collaboration? So let's start with what it is. Online digital tools can support quick access to knowledge, support collaboration, and help people connect and communicate effectively. Some great examples of what these are is, like, for example, in this course I'm currently taking, and honestly, what you're listening to right now, is a blog. We use the website WordPress.com. There's also others such as edublogs.org or blogger.com, etc. There's tons of different websites you can use for blogging. What's great about them is they're customizable and relatively easy to use. You can share your work with others and they can comment on your work, which we have been doing in this current course, which has been great. The feedback is always nice. It's amazing how easy setting up some of these websites are. I made a website for a group project and it took me less than 30 minutes to make a really nice looking website. I'm starting to sound like a commercial. But it's true. They do have nice templates that work quite nicely. You just have to spend the time sort of playing with them and you can make some really interesting stuff. Another digital tool that can support communication and collaboration is social media, things like Facebook, Twitter, etc. You can use them to share content with global audiences and comment on others' work, network, and build relationships. This has been extremely handy for me personally. There's lots of talk back and forth on Twitter between educators. I belong to a Facebook group with lots of shop teachers. I recently joined one with shop teachers around North America who have been discussing how to approach shop teaching, like woodworking, metalworking, automotive, electronics, robotics, in the time of online teaching because of the COVID virus and the pandemic. It's been extremely helpful in not only finding ways to approach this new reality we're living with, but also sort of quelling fears and anxieties to just make my life a little bit less stressful. Of course, there's things like wikis or online encyclopedias, the biggest example being Wikipedia. There's endless amounts of wikis. There's lots dedicated to many different subjects that really get into the nitty-gritty, some of them educational, some more pop culture related. Some otherwise. They're basically an online community made, they're online community made resources, basically similar to an encyclopedia, except people around the world sort of fill in the information and try and, at least in the case of Wikipedia, cite sources. It's not the perfect place to get information, but it is a good place. The danger being that anyone can contribute and false information could be put on there if people aren't being vigilant and making sure that the information is correct. It's a good place for people to start a project. I wouldn't necessarily cite Wikipedia as a source, but you can start there and go from there. There's online Office Suite tools such as Google Docs, Google Slides, Prezi, Google or Microsoft Teams, things like that. They're basically shareable tools that can be edited by multiple users simultaneously for group work. Google Docs is a great example of that. You can use it to I'm using it currently with a group for a project we're doing about Rube Goldberg machines, and it's been very handy. We've all four of us have been working on it at the same time, throwing in information. You can communicate with each other on it through a little messenger service on it, or it built into the program. It's been very handy to work. I've recently discovered another program that I might use with my electronics and robotics course called Tinkercad. I've used it in the past, but I didn't fully utilize what it's capable of. And I recently discovered that you can set it up for your classroom, and kids can directly share to you what they're doing. And it's just you can it's a one-stop place for electronics work. You can do coding with it. You can do breadboarding with it. You can build cases for projects with it. It's very handy. I was very impressed with what it was capable of doing. And lastly is online synchronous video conferencing tools such as Zoom, BlueJeans, Skype. Zoom seems to be really taking the forefront during this pandemic. I guess FaceTime could be added to that list, but it allows groups to get together online. Conversations can often be recorded, and some programs offer extra tools like polling tools and group breakouts and an automated raising your hand. It's very handy. It's the course, this whole program that I've been doing, my master's program, has been based on using programs like this to communicate synchronously, which has been awesome. And the being able to record it is great because the people who miss the class can always come back and watch it later, which is very handy. So, how can digital tools expand learning beyond the classroom walls? Well, it allows students to connect with each other, the teacher, and possibly even experts or parents, which is great. It gives them the opportunity to get information, get critiqued, reassess what they've been doing, and possibly make changes in tech ed. That's extremely important as they go through the design process, especially if they can talk to experts in whatever it is they're attempting to build. Students can collaborate from home in these pandemic times. That's extremely important. It's allowing teachers to collaborate from home as well, which is great. Students can work on things at home that they could not have done in the past. It's very true. In my time in high school, we could not have done any of these things in the same way, at least not from our individual homes. We would have had to all get together and do the work, and even then, we wouldn't be able to work on the same Word document at the same time. It offers students the chance to share their work and get feedback from others. That kind of follows under the first one with connecting with others. And it allows students to connect with people and communities around the world to get a more personalized and real experience. So if I don't teach social studies, but you could, in theory, if you were talking about a different place, connect with someone from that place and get their real life experience and get, you know, it from the ground. You know exactly what's going on there because you have someone who lives there and is living in that situation telling you about it. I mean, what a better way to really get the full story, or at least most of the story, or a side of the story than actually contacting someone who's in it. How does your project promote communication and collaboration between students in your class and with others outside your learning context? So kids can communicate online to share their, or I, let me, before I get into that, let me explain the project again. My group is doing a Rube Goldberg machine project for grades 3 to 5. Initially, our plan was to do it in class, but and have them work in groups to make a how-to video of how they made their Rube Goldberg project and show the process, the design process they used, and the outcomes. That has changed a little bit with the pandemic. We've started to try and focus it more on being online and how kids can do this from home. That obviously adds some complications. Students having to find, we can't supply them with things, so they're gonna have to find things around the home to use to make their project. It could be, as simple as stacking books like dominoes and knocking them over to do a thing. There's lots of things you can do as long as you're creative, and kids are always creative. So I'm sure it could work out. So with this new situation in hand, some things we've thought about to address this is that it allows kids to communicate online, to share their thoughts and feelings with other groups about their projects. Now, whether they're working in groups or individually, at this point, we're not sure. But if they were, either way, they can communicate online to share their thoughts with other groups, interact with the teacher, interact with parents, to share ideas, see what other people are doing, and work with that from there. Maybe find solutions to problems they're having. Other people can offer ideas. It offers a great opportunity. For braver teachers, it could offer students feedback from online friends, families, and strangers. We kind of just mentioned that. It can be getting strangers is where the brave teacher thing comes in. Is you need to know who your students are connecting with, especially at the grade 3 to 5 level. That's very young, and we don't want any strange people intermingling with the kids. That would not be good. And as students will be working in groups to make their video, it will force them to take on roles and carry them out to fruition. There will be a need to collaborate as a team to meet their final goal. I can say that even as this project we're doing together, we have had to split off. Some of us have editing skills, some of us are better writers, some of us have been able to track down Creative Commons resources. It's worked really well because we all have our own strengths and weaknesses, and we kind of make up for what other areas people may lack in, and vice versa. The students would have the same opportunity. Some might be really good at the hands-on stuff, some might be really good at video and editing. It really creates a good opportunity for them to, show each other what they can do and share that knowledge and show each other how it's done and share what they may know. Anyways, I'm going to wrap up now with my tech of the week. This week is a program called Cold Turkey. This one is for those people who lack discipline. It is one I have considered personally using myself from time to time. It's used to block yourself from popular sites, games, and more. It helps keep a person on task and limit distractions for a time. So you set a limit, time limit, and now you can't go to that Facebook or Twitter or whatever website you're always going to that's distracting you because it's oh so tempting, and now you can't do that anymore. And the outro music you're hearing right now is a song called Canada by Picture of a Floating World. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Bye.